something bigger than the universe, I guess. If there's something bigger, some mathematician probably knows, but I think for our purposes, we could say nothing is bigger than the universe. Nothing is bigger for you and me than the purpose of the universe. And I do want to convince you of this, but remember, I'm not trying to convince you by some human wisdom or whatever, but by a demonstration of the Spirit's power. Well, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we know that you want us to listen to you today, but not to just any kind of human wisdom, but actually to the power of your Spirit. I pray, O Lord, you'll help me to be a good helper to help the people. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I'm going to talk about the purpose of the universe, I promise. But first I want to talk about the purpose of you. Like, what are you doing on this planet anyway? I've often wondered, you know, what would it be like if you actually got here and people said, why did you come to our planet? Who are you? Wouldn't that be a great way to sort of try to understand, oh, yeah, somebody sent me here. So let's talk about the purpose of you. You actually have one. Here it is. Anybody here, just by show of hands, anybody here created by God? Let me see your hands. Okay, that would be everybody. All right, put your hands up. All right, now the next one, of course, I don't know everybody's heart, so I'll just say it like this. Part of the other purpose, you have three purposes sort of in one. You have to be created by God. Now, you've all done that part of the purpose. The other thing you have to do is you have to be saved by his son, Jesus. Now, I don't know the hearts of all people here. I'm assuming a lot of us here would say, well, yeah, I'm saved by Jesus. I mean, I didn't do it. I mean, he did it by faith and all that on the cross. So that's the second part. And the third part of your purpose is that the Holy Spirit has to come and live inside you and make you holy. And so if you're believing in Jesus, created by God, living in Jesus, in believing in Jesus, then the Holy Spirit's living inside you, and that is the very purpose why you were sent here. Amen. I mean, that really, I'm not just trying to make a joke. That's the truth. You don't have any other purpose. That's it. There is nothing else for you to actually do. You got to be created by the Father, saved by the Son, and made holy by the Spirit. And every day he makes you a little more holy, of course, as you cooperate with the Spirit. But the work of creation and redemption is done. And now the Spirit is just working on you to make you holy, or in my case, keep me holy until the last day. And there it is. Now, why is that important to know? And I know that sounds confusing, and I don't mean to confuse you, but you have to get confused to get this. Here it is. What I want you to know is that when it comes through for you that you've already accomplished everything and there's nothing more to accomplish, would that not then make a difference on how you approach everything else in life? You see, the big problem that you and I have is that we constantly think that everything is riding on the next decision or the next whatever. You fill in the blank. The next. Now, I don't care what age you are. You could be young. But we always do this. It's all riding on that. No, it's not. That's a lie. Everything was riding on being created and getting saved and being made holy. That's done. And so now, calm down. Nothing is worth getting into a spin about. I know when I was young, I didn't believe it either, but I'm just telling you, it's true. I could have saved myself. You know, a lot of the gray hairs can tell you this. It's not worth it, especially when you come to realize that it's simply all done for you. I know that sounds crazy, but it's all been done. It's done. So I'm hoping and praying. You know, I think about this young man here and think, gosh, you've got so much in front of you. But I hope you'll approach it with the idea that, okay, nothing is riding on this. You understand? It's all done. There's no way you can make God unhappy here or anything like that. That's not going to happen, Somo. Don't worry, okay? Now, if what I said is true, and by the way, it is true. So I know everybody's thinking, well, if everything's all done, now what do I do? I don't know. Bye. You know, I mean, there's like you think there's nothing to do. Well, that's not exactly how it works. But what I'm trying to say is, a lot of times, what you do in life is connected to this feeling. And I want to talk a lot about feelings today, too. These feelings that come upon you that make you believe, and by the way, they're not true, they're not rooted in reality, but you feel them. I've got to do this, and I won't have any peace until I do. That's a wrong feeling to have. God says, I want you to have peace. I want you to always feel all the time courageous. I don't want you to feel afraid. I don't want you to feel guilty. I don't want you to feel worthless. I don't want you to feel any shame at all. And yet, all of us here say, yeah, we'll explain that to my feelings, Larry. He doesn't want to cooperate. I constantly feel guilty and ashamed of myself, and I constantly feel scared and not peaceful. All right, so let's be straight. It's all in there, right? Everybody feels it. It's not going away anytime soon, by the way. And what I'm going to say today is not going to make the feeling go away. What I am hoping will happen is that when the feelings come, you will remember what God is telling you today. So, I know everybody here. You're just like me. You constantly carry around bags and bags of guilt, and they just won't go away. God said, I will give you a special lamb, a guilt offering named Jesus to take away your guilt. You know, that's why we call him the Lamb of God, takes away the sin of the world. We call him that because a lamb was always the animal they used for the guilt offering. Here's the offering for our bad things, God. Well, instead, God said, no, I don't want you to use a lamb. I want you to use my son. He's the Lamb of God. When you feel like you're not worth very much, which is very common for all human beings, then what happens is you got to remember that a payment was made. You know, things are worth what you pay for them. Anybody in business knows that rule. What's this thing worth? I don't know. What can we get for it, right? Well, gold or silver was not used to pay for you. And you are bought and paid for. Don't ever forget that. You don't belong to yourself. You were bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus. And so worthless people, I mean, even in a human sense, if you didn't care about somebody, if they meant nothing to you and some stranger came up and said, I need some blood, would you give me? You probably would consider it. But it was somebody you really cared about and said, you know, you're going to be sick for a while because I need a lot of blood from you. You would do it in a second, wouldn't you? People give organs. People give blood for that reason, to show you mean something to me. Well, that's what Jesus did on the cross. I mean, his blood was all over that cross. That was the payment. So you don't belong to you. I don't belong to me. We all belong to him. And what if you feel ashamed, as we often do, as I often do, as you often do? Well, remember this. When they put Jesus on the cross, he didn't have any clothes on. He was naked. And any time you see the word nakedness or the word naked in the Bible, or a picture of nakedness in the Bible, it means one thing and one thing only. shame. You see, his nakedness covers your shame. Now, let me just get a little psychological on you for a second, because this is very important. The next time somebody treats you shamefully, and of course they do, what I want you to do is thank Jesus for being on the cross naked and covering your shame. Because, you know, the devil tempts you all the time to get angry when people don't treat you right, when in fact, anger is not really what you're feeling in the moment. It's shame. You actually feel like, gosh, I must be a shameful person to have somebody treat me so shamefully. It's not true, but that's what happens. But you do have to ask Jesus not to help you with your anger, because if you do, you'll find it doesn't really work. What will work is if you ask Jesus in his nakedness to cover your shame. I have tried it myself, and it does work. So there you are. You've got this purpose for you, created, saved, made holy. You've got this, okay, now what do we do? Well, we certainly don't want to be feeling these things. We will, but we can just call them what they are, big fat lies from the devil. And I know, I once sat with a lady, she said to me, so she came and she said, oh, I feel so worthless all the time. And I tried to explain to her that she wasn't, and she said, but it must be true. And I said, okay, why? And this is what she said. She said, but I feel it. And I said, some sad days are coming for you if you will not listen to what I'm saying. It's a lie. All of us feel worthless all the time. But you have to decide every day, are you going to believe it or aren't you? I mean, that's all there is to it. You can believe what this book says about that, or you can believe what your vain imaginations and your feelings, as strong as they can be, are telling you. Now, speaking as one who, you know, used to believe the other stuff, the lies, I can tell you it's pretty bad. It can do bad things to you. But that's the daily fight, you see. That's the daily repentance. That's the daily time to say, God, you understand how I feel about me. Now, somebody's got to be saying, well, I thought you were going to talk about the universe, Larry. Why are you talking about us so much? Ah, there's a reason. The purpose of the universe is not disconnected from you at all. If you don't get this on the inside, the universe is not going to be doing very well, believe me. So what is the purpose of the universe? Well, 2 Timothy 2 says it like this. This is Paul right before he died, by the way. He really wants to get the point across to his vicar, you know. Timothy is like his vicar. And he says, okay, vicar, just remember this. God wants all to be saved and come to the knowledge of the what? Ah, there's that word again, see. He doesn't want people believing nonsense about themselves like I used to. And many days I do, of course, but now at least I have some practice and I'm able to say, okay, that's a lie. Devil, you don't have that power over me. I might feel it all day long, but I'm not going to trust the feeling. I'm going to trust the Bible. That's what it means to trust Jesus. When everything in you is screaming, no, it's not true, you can still say, oh, I believe it. I just can't control my feelings. And by the way, nowhere in the Bible could I find a verse that ever said that you were called upon by God to control those feelings. You can't. They cannot be controlled. Don't try. But since they are lies and they're evil, the only way to combat them is with what? Yes. Truth. You don't get rid of a feeling by reasoning with it. Don't ever do that. It'd be like trying to have a conversation with the devil. Don't do it. Simply say, yeah, the feeling is there, and I do not believe it. I believe the truth about me, that blood was shed for me. Jesus was willing to be naked in front of people for me. It's a pretty big deal. And so now that you have this God who does this, and by the way, the universe has no other purpose, just so you know. Was it Jen, were you reading earlier? Yeah, did you notice the purpose is as soon as every nation gets to hear. Now that doesn't mean, and I know that some of this bothers you like it does me for the gypsies, that doesn't mean that every gypsy is going to be there, does it? Or every Burmese guy is going to be there either. But we have representatives, don't we? So far, I guess we don't have representatives from every tribe and every nation and every tongue. We have a lot, but not all. And so the Lord says, now be off and do your thing. But when that happens, it will be the end. And there is no other purpose. Your purpose, God's purpose, the purpose of the universe, they're all together. So now that you know these things, I'm sure somebody must be sitting there thinking, wow, if God did all this stuff for me, what can I do, you know, to like, I don't know, be a part of him, or, you know, how do I, you know, I want to say thanks. Oh, I'm glad you asked. I can tell you. The first thing you have to get is this, is that anything you do for God in his mission, first of all, is not your work. And young vicars have to know this more than anybody. It's hard to get this, but it's not your work. Remember that at all. It's his. It does not belong to Southwest Lutheran. It does not belong to any church. It does not belong to the church on earth at all. Belongs to that same Father, Son, and Holy Spirit who created you, saved you, and makes you holy. It's his work. He certainly can do whatever he wants. And yet he says it like this. I'm doing things in the world. I invite you to participate. And that's it. And now, knowing what you know about your purpose, his purpose, the purpose of the universe, then you have a decision to make. What will you do? Do you want to participate with him or not? Now, I was here a few weeks ago, and I said that very thing. I said, you know, you guys are increasing your participation in God's mission. But just so you know, participation in God's mission doesn't mean that you actually know what you're doing. Let me explain. About 20 years ago, I guess it was, 1998, a man that I really love and really respect, he came to me and he said, Larry, I don't know how to explain this. He wasn't a part of our church, but he said, I don't know how to explain it to you, but something is going on with your church here. It's really great, and I feel really compelled to talk to you. I said, okay, well, what is it? And he said, you know, so many people coming to our town here, and we got to do something. And I said, well, yeah, but, you know, what? And he said, well, could you have me over to your church, and could I speak? Yeah. So the man comes to our church. He speaks. We have all this food and everything, and he gets up, and he just says, look, I don't know how to tell you folks this, but something is going on in this church and in this town, and you guys are supposed to be really involved. And I said, great. What should we do? And he said, I don't know. And I said, okay, that's good. He just lays this thing on us and he leaves it there. And so he leaves. And he feels like, well, I did my job. Okay, great. So I get together with some people and I say, guys, I don't really know what to do. Except, as Mike said, to pray, you know. But what I did was this. I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. So I got the elders, and I said, we are going to put a prayer request right here. And we're going to say, Lord, this man gave us something. We're supposed to do something for it, but we don't know what it is. We want to, but we don't know what it is. So every week, every Sunday, We said, Lord, please help us with that thing. That's how we said it, the message that the man gave us. And we did that for about 3 Sundays in a row, and everybody was kind of anticipating. We didn't know what would happen. And so right around that time, I also had a field worker in my church. His name was James Keller. And dear James was running around town, around Fort Wayne, and he came to see me one day, and he said, did you know that there are Burmese people in Fort Wayne? I said, no, Burmese, really? He said, yeah, like the State Department is sending you. Really? He said, is it okay with you if I kind of spend time with him? Yeah, we'll see what happens. It took about 2 weeks, and we got our answer. We started to have Burmese people come to church. Jim was out doing his thing. Anybody here know Pastor James? A few of you know James. And, you know, the thing of it is that that was the answer. Now, as you can see, you guys actually have a clue as to what you're doing here. You know, you have a vicar, and so you guys are way, way ahead of the game. We didn't know anything. We simply said we want to participate with what God is doing. And I tell you, I've taken enough people overseas, and I've trained enough missionaries in my life, both professional missionaries, career, and volunteers like you. And I'm telling you right now, that one simple prayer, don't pray it unless... I mean, there's some people in this church, their whole world turned upside down when they when they prayed that prayer. Am I right? Yeah. But if you pray that prayer from your heart, Lord, I'm taken care of. I'm created, saved, and made holy. You know, I have bad feelings inside me, but you're telling me they're not true, so I'm going to move on. The purpose of your universe is to make sure that we get a representative from every tribe, every nation, every tongue. And so, the only thing for me to do is simply say, Lord, would you let me participate with you? And I'd like to pray that for all of us now, but I tell you, if I pray it, those of you who really join me in that prayer, I mean, it will happen within days. And you will come to Pastor Joe and say, whoa, this really works, if you want it to. Because you see, if mission doesn't happen in here, it'll never happen anywhere else. So I know that a lot of you have mission in your hearts, because that's where it begins. It's right there. So you see, people of Southwest, the purpose of the universe also has a very intimate implication, because it was about you and people just like you, but people who have those crummy, evil feelings inside them and have nowhere to go with it. We know how to rescue them. We know how to tell them, that's a lie. Guess what? I have the same feeling. But here's what I found. Now you tell me, is there anything bigger than that in the universe? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you very much that the purpose of our lives is already done. We don't have to think about it or worry about it. We thank you also, Lord, that we know that we've got these evil feelings inside of us. We wish they would leave us, but you told us in the Bible that they're probably not going to. But you also told us that when these things happen, that we are to come to you and say, thank you, Jesus, that I'm really not guilty. I'm really not worthless. I'm really not covered in shame because of you, Jesus. Lord, we know the purpose of the universe is to make sure that every tribe, nation, tongue, and to participate with you, that's our personal response, Lord, to participate in what you are doing. We don't have to know anything more than that, Lord. We don't have to know what it is or how it's going to happen or anything, Lord. just even now, Lord, we're praying. And there are people here that are very fervently praying right now. And they're saying, yes, Lord, I agree with what Larry said, not because of what that he said, but because it's from the Bible. And so, Lord, we pray even now that you set us apart for participation in your mission. We do not know what that means. But I pray for each person here, Lord, that you'll help each of us to make ourselves available for participation in what you are doing. For then we know that we are plugged in to the purpose of the whole universe. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. And now we will stand for the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated as now we gather the tithes and the offerings. I guess Mike wants to address us. Nope. I mean, Chris. I'm sorry, Chris.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, my name is Chris Walters. I'm the seminarian student here at Southwest Lutheran. We'd like to welcome you all. And at this moment in time in the service, we collect our offerings to God, the gifts that we give with joyous and thankful hearts for all the things that he has done for us. And if you're a guest or a visitor, we thank you for coming. And at this moment in time, we don't require you to give anything, but we have a gift for you. And on the table out here in the hall, we have a little gift bag that we'd like you to take as our way of saying thank you for worshiping with us. We hope to see you again. And also we have our little yellow attendance cards. Please fill those out and put them in the basket. And we also have a little prayer request that if you have filled out, go ahead and put it in there. If not, just give it to me or one of the ushers, and we'll make sure we get those to the pastor. And at this time, we can have the ushers come forward.